If you are a small business owner, I'm sure sometimes you feel like you need a marketing degree just to successfully market your business. I'm here to tell you that is not the case if you use Constant Contact. Constant Contact's award-winning platform has powerful marketing tools to make it easy to grow your audience, engage your customers, and sell more. In just a few clicks, you can launch a campaign that is tailored to your business and goals. Maybe you're launching a new product, or releasing a newsletter, or want to tell your customers about upcoming deals. Constant Contact can help with all of that. This includes email, SMS, social media, and so much more, all designed to be easy so you can sell more, raise more, and fast-track business growth. Plus, Constant Contact's award-winning customer service is there for guidance along the way to help you with things like customer lists, templates, and follow-ups. Get going and start growing your business today with a free trial at ConstantContact.com. Constant Contact, helping the small stand tall.
It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year.
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations. Forgotten. The history.
Vegas Golden Knights!
History.
Win.
We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Happy Monday, Ivy Nation Sports Talk. We're up, we're rolling. He's Vince D'Addario. I'm Sean Stiers. Busy NFL draft weekend. Did you pay much attention to the draft this weekend? I didn't hear a whole lot from you. I think probably past maybe Thursday or Friday.
Yeah, that's fair, because I didn't watch any past that.
Okay.
I watched the first nine picks very closely because that affected the Bears, and they had 1-9, and I didn't know if they were going to move out of that nine spot or what they were going to do, but obviously they ended up picking Roma Dunze, which is a great pick. And so I watched that, and then on Friday, track meet in Warsaw, so I missed the vast majority of Friday night because Warsaw is over an hour away. And then Saturday was my youngest son's birthday. And so we were kind of doing birthday stuff, you know what I mean? And so I kind of missed Saturday as well.
Okay.
So here's the thing though. I really dig the first round. Obviously it's got the pageantry. It's got the, you know, the booing of the commissioner and all that stuff. So I watched the first round.
It's got everything but a good pace.
Yes, that's fair. I mean, it went on until after midnight. Yeah, I mean, which was ridiculous to get 32 picks to take.
I thought it was hilarious. I thought it was hilarious that, you know, they had like 275,000 people there downtown Detroit. But as soon as the Lions made their pick, like those people, 90% of them were out of there. There was nothing but litter in the streets and like 10 people standing up by the stage after that. No, there might have been more than 10. But you know what I'm saying? Like they cleared fast, man. They cleared out fast.
Well, I mean,
set a weekend record for the draft. So hats off to Detroit.
700,000
fans. They've had a big football event up there before, you know? I guess they've hosted a Super Bowl, but, you know.
I mean, 700,000 fans is a lot of people to watch. Would you go to a draft? Is that something that you would do?
You know,
it sounds incredibly boring to me.
I've thought about that, and I don't think I would because I've always thought that it would be interesting to cover it. But I heard someone on another podcast late last week who was there, and apparently, if you're there, like covering it from a media perspective, like you really don't see anything. They've just got you kind of sitting back, you know, in some room away
like a back
from everything.
Room.
Yeah. So you're not like, you're not by the crowd and the atmosphere and any of that stuff. And, you know, it's like, if you're going to be there and you're going to be like in the mosh pit or whatever, I mean, you got to have some beverages and keep it lubed up. And
for a long time, by the way,
I'm too old for all that stuff, right? You know, I gotta have a couple beverages back in my lawn chair or whatever, but I'm not staying on my feet for 5 hours. Let's put it that way.
I mean, one nice thing about the draft is you don't have to really pay super close attention the entire time. Like I was watching my daughter and I, we watched Survivor together, right? So we were watching a rerun of, not a rerun, but like a recorded version of the Survivor, and I had the draft on my iPad, like right next to me, like on Friday, on Thursday. You know what I mean? So it's like, I could still see every single pick and the opinions and all that stuff while still doing something else, which was kind of nice. So I will say that. I have zero desire to ever go to a draft. I think I said it on the show. One thing I would love to do is be in a war room, though, for a draft. For
yeah, now that would be really interesting.
Like for the whole weekend?
Would ever let you do that. Yeah.
I think that would be really cool.
I'd actually, like, I would want, you know, they've got Hard Knocks and all that kind of stuff. I would watch.
Yes.
Like behind the scenes, if they put together, like, whether it's Netflix or HBO or whoever, I think HBO probably does the best job with that kind of stuff.
Sure.
So I probably want it to be on HBO. Like, let the Hard Knocks people do Hard Knocks the draft. And like, you, because like a 3-day draft, you could probably do 6 episodes on that.
Oh, absolutely. Like, I would watch every one of them too.
Cause like, I think we're going to hear a couple of the draft calls here for, you know, like the Notre Dame players got in the draft. I've got some of the audio of that. I think that stuff is fun. Like when they start passing around the phone and, you know, like
doing
the different stuff that the guys are saying and the players are saying. And like, I think that's very interesting stuff, just that. And then you throw on top, I don't know how much those NFL teams would want to give away, kind of like how much proprietary stuff, you know, in terms of what they're thinking, you know? So like, I don't know if after the draft is you know what I mean? Like if that's still, absolutely, they might be giving some secrets away or anything like that. Well, but it would be very interesting, I think.
The way they evaluate and stuff like that.
Yeah, but
like
exactly.
The first 2 episodes, just like all the events leading up to the draft, right? You could follow some guys going to some games. You could follow guys going to the pro days, and you could follow guys, you know, guys going to the combine. And then you get to, okay, here's night one of the draft. And, you know, what would it be like to like man the phones when somebody calls to like offer you a trade, or, you know, like that stuff is riveting to me.
Yeah.
I mean, it really is.
Like, I would be interested in, you know, like hearing them proposing, you know, like,
right.
The teams that want to trade down, like, are they, you know, like the phone calls that they're making, the teams that want to trade, you know, like,
yes,
we talked, Jesse and I talked about that Chiefs Bills trade, for example, that they made at the end of the first round, where the Chiefs traded with the Bills to move up to take the Texas wide receiver who ran the fastest time in the history of the NFL combine. You know, so like the Chiefs have more speed now at wide receiver, which they needed, you know, from last year. But like we talked about, if you're the Buffalo Bills, why are you still trading with the Kansas City Chiefs? The Chiefs have knocked you out of the playoffs 3 of the last 4 Seriously. Years. And when the Chiefs traded up to get Patrick Mahomes, the Buffalo Bills were the team that they traded with to get that pick. Like, why are you still trading with Kansas City if you're Buffalo? And that would be very interesting to hear how that conversation went. Like, what goes into some of that? You know, how much convincing do you have to do, and all these different things?
I want to know how much alcohol was circulating in the Vikings draft room when they traded up to get JJ McCarthy. That's what I want to know.
Yes. All right. We got a lot of stuff that we're going to get to, and it's been a very lively chat already. Here tonight, before the show even started, I was kind of watching some of the stuff pop up in the chat. Before we get to the draft stuff, there was something. Yep, TD4ND. Any news on the portal is what TD is asking. Still no Notre Dame players in the portal. It closes tomorrow. Tomorrow is the last day to enter names in the transfer portal. From what I understand, we're still going to hear some Notre Dame names called. But
seriously?
That's what I hear. That's what I'm hearing.
There's names in my head that I figure would probably jump in at some point. But then there's also some guys that would be considered graduates, and they can jump in whenever. So maybe they're not on the timetable of Tuesday, like a lot of these, like underclassmen are, obviously. But then it's only jumping in that expires tomorrow. You can come out at any time. So correct, right? That is accurate.
Yeah. So you just have to have your name in the portal.
You just got
to
get in
by whatever the time is tomorrow. Otherwise,
So
if your name is in by tomorrow, like teams can still contact you until whenever. And as you said, you can still pull your name out of the portal at any time.
That's true too. So. But I'm thinking like, you know, Notre Dame going and getting guys to come to Notre Dame, that can still be an announcement that comes at some point. You know, they don't have to have that all figured out by Monday or by Tuesday, excuse me.
Yeah.
So there's still going to be people coming. Like Notre Dame still doesn't have a punter. They need more.
Oh, you're saying, corner. As long as your name is in the portal. Yeah. So like you get it in the portal by tomorrow. Like these decisions don't have to be made by tomorrow. Tomorrow's just the deadline for players to enter their name in there. And then after that, you can still go shopping in the portal, you know, as long as a guy's name stays in there basically throughout the summer. So see how it goes, I guess.
I'm shocked we haven't heard more from Notre Dame players, obviously, but I'm not overly shocked we haven't heard about people coming to Notre Dame yet. That'll come.
Right. And USMA 87 was saying, fingers crossed it closes tomorrow.
It definitely does.
The deadline to get the names in. So, yes. And by the way, USMA 87, he remembers my prediction.
That's right.
To the Chargers.
That's the only thing that I'd remember about like what our predictions. I've got them written down here. But
it's one of the few things I got right.
He was going to go higher than seven. Like I was excited about. You know, we both talked about that, and you double picked it. But alt to the Chargers makes sense based on who their head coach is. Like he wants to lead with the line. I mean, it makes sense. And all the nonsense. Can we talk about this? All the nonsense out there that Chargers fans are upset with this Joe Alt pick. Are you kidding me?
Get over it, man. When you're in the Super Bowl in 2 to 3 years or, you know, in the AFC Championship game in 2 to 3 years, you're going to be pretty happy with it because he's going to be, as I said on Friday's show when we were talking, look, you know, we make predictions and people obviously call us out when we're wrong. So that's why cool. I just want to make sure that I remind people I was right at least once, right? So, I mean, as you said, it's the Jim Harbaugh blueprint. It starts with the offensive line, and he's done it at every stop that he's been at, starting with Stanford, who, remember, was horrible before Jim Harbaugh showed up, and he turned him into a national player. And then he took San Francisco to a Super Bowl when he turned that around. And obviously he just won a national championship at Michigan, and they've been in the playoffs for the last 3 years. But it starts up front, and that's how he's going to build the Chargers, the same way he has built up those other teams. So like you can be ticked off because you didn't get a big sexy wide receiver or whatever.
Chargers, he's not going to throw the ball. But, so let it in. Who cares?
Like, you still got Justin Herbert. You're going to protect Justin Herbert. And when you're contending for championships here in a few years, you're going to be happy because remember, you got to go up against Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs for at least the next 10 years. So you got to be big and bad up front. That's what Jim Harbaugh wants, and they're going to be contenders sooner than later. Like you can grouse about it now, but you'll be thanking him in a couple years.
Football season may be over, but the action on the floor is heating up. Whether it's tournament season or the fight for playoff home court, there's no shortage of high stakes basketball moments this time of year. Get in on the excitement with Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app, where you can turn your hoops knowledge into some serious cash. Prize Picks is the largest daily fantasy sports platform in North America. We are the easiest and most exciting way to play daily fantasy sports. It's just you against the numbers. Instead of battling thousands of other players, including pros and sharks, you pick more than or less than on 2 to 6 player stat projections and watch the winnings roll in. You can now win up to 100 times your money on Prize Picks with as little as 4 correct picks. You heard it. 4 correct picks. You can turn $10 into $1,000 with NBA, NHL, and college basketball entries today on Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app. It is so easy to use. All you have to do is download the app in the App Store or Google Play Store, sign up, add some funds, and you're in. Then you just find your favorite player and decide more or less on the suggested stat. It really is that easy. The night I joined, I picked Hannah Hidalgo to have more than 14 points, Maddie Westbeld to have less than 10 rebounds, and Marcus Burton to have more than 18 points. And guess what? I hit on all three. Bing, bang, boom, baby. Money in my pocket. It was just that easy. Download the app today and use code IRISH for a first deposit match up to $100. Again, download the app today and use code IRISH for a first deposit match up to $100. Prize Picks. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy. Barring any kind of crazy injury that I don't think will happen, Joe Alt is going to be a Hall of Famer. Like he has the pedigree to wear the gold jacket in a couple of decades.
Yep.
How could you possibly be upset with that pick? I mean, those are people that don't understand football and they don't understand who their head coach is.
That's right.
You know, I mean, that's all it is. And it's just amazing to me.
Yep.
But
Irish had 7 guys drafted over the weekend, and Notre Dame holds on to the all-time lead, 532 players all-time.
By one.
Selected. One more ahead of USC. Notre Dame and USC both had 7 selected in this draft. Yep. So
hey, holding on, baby. I like it.
JJ, Javonte Jean-Baptiste in the 7th round.
Squeaked in there.
Yep, keeps Notre Dame one ahead of USC for the all-time record. I did find it interesting, though, that the playoff teams, Michigan led the way with 13, Texas had 11, Alabama and Washington each with 10, along with Florida State. So, you know, Florida State, obviously, the 5th team not in the playoffs, but the 4 playoff teams, all with double-digit players selected, Georgia, Oregon, Penn State all had 8, and then Notre Dame and USC with 7. So Notre Dame right behind all those playoff teams in terms of number of players drafted this weekend. Well, we've already got, you know, as I sit here and I look at the live chat, I feel like DK has just been poking the bear, even before the show started. He said, it's Marist Monday. He said, nice topic for the show. I was surprised Marist slid up to the 3rd round and sneakily stole a 3rd round draft pick from Dallas. Where was it? There was somebody, it might have been DK earlier as well.
There's a super chat in there.
There
too.
It is. Somehow the super chat didn't get started up, but thanks the super chat, DK. He said, did Naomi film the embrace between you and Jesse when Maris' name was called in the 3rd round? And I'll tell you what, this is, I don't want to crap on Maris because, I mean, he's a good guy.
Right.
You know, Dallas obviously valued him, but this was a shock to me because like we were sitting there Friday night and we were, you know, we were definitely watching the draft and like, what's his name? Blake Corum from Michigan, the running back. Cause we were like, it's like, okay, we need some running backs to go here. Cause we're thinking 3rd round, the Cowboys are probably looking at a running back because they needed a running back. They got a couple offensive linemen already. They got the defensive end from Western Michigan. And so like, we're like, come on, we're rubbing the rabbit's foot. You know, it's like, we're doing everything that we can. We're just like, Audric Estime, come on, make it happen. And of course it did not happen.
No,
let me just throw it to you because you're much more like obviously follow Notre Dame. I don't think anyone who follows Notre Dame was expecting to hear Maris Leofau's name go in the 3rd round.
I mean, I predicted the 6th. So not that my predictions 7th. Mean anything, but like just watching his film, if you want, look again, that's the part about the draft that's kind of frustrating as far as the television version, right? They show all the highlights of these guys and every single player that they show looks like a 1st round pick. Okay, because of their highlights. And if you watch Maris' highlights, he jumps right off the screen. I mean, there's no two ways about it.
You're showing all the
games. Exactly. And you would think when you're drafting somebody that you watch like full games, you know, you watch the good, you watch the bad, you watch the ugly, you know, you watch all of it. And the problem for me with Maris is the ugly tends to outshine the good. And that's a problem. When it comes to play diagnosis, NFL is more complicated than than college. So we're saying that it's going to get easier to diagnose plays, and he's going to be able to run around like a crazy person and do, you know, what he, what his athletic ability is allowing him to do. I just don't know that I see that. That's the problem. And I, again, I don't want to crap on the pick for Dallas, but I was very surprised that he went where he went. That's for sure.
Well, it's interesting. Do you have that, that tweet, that photo that I sent you?
It should be so, up. Yes. No, nope. You got to pull it up. There it is.
So this is from Notre Dame's Pro Day. I'm putting it up here on the old YouTube screen. This is a picture that I took of, because it was like, I knew I had heard Mike McCarthy was there, but I hadn't seen him yet. So I'm looking all over the place and I'm like, where's Mike McCarthy? I took this picture of him. He and Dan Quinn, who of course used to be the Cowboys defensive coordinator, now the head coach at Washington. They were the only two head coaches at Notre Dame's Pro Day. And I think Jesse and I did the show after the Pro Day that day. And we're like racking our brains. He's there. It's like, it's very rare for NFL head coaches to show up at a Pro Day. So this is one of the photos that I snapped of Mike McCarthy. And he's standing there behind the bleachers that they had set up kind of in the middle of the field where they were running the 40s and stuff like that. Who's standing 5 yards away from Mike McCarthy?
Maris Leofau. I mean, yeah. Right there.
Less than 5 yards away. Maris Leofau is right there. And as it turned out, this is the guy they were targeting, because they, the teams have these, you get a list, you get 30 guys who get to make like visits for interviews and let you go in depth and all that kind of stuff. Audric Estime was not one of the Dallas Cowboys 30s. Maris Leofau was. And they had Mike McCarthy there. They had Will McClay, who's their director of personnel. You know, like Jerry Jones and Stephen Jones are the de facto general managers, but it's Will McClay who does the evaluating. And they had Will McClay there. They had Mike McCarthy there. Didn't have Mike Zimmer there, the new defensive coordinator. But it's, you know, we racked our brains. And, of course, we wanted it to be Audric Estime.
Of course.
That they were going after. And that's what we were, you know, we're coming to that conclusion. It's like, Audric, below the radar. Maris Leofau in the third round. That was, it was a total shocker to me. And I was, you know, I've warmed up to it a little bit just based on some things I have read and, you know, things the team is saying about Maris. And, like, Jesse has really been working. Like, Jesse was excited. He jumped off the couch and I just looked at him and, like, are you kidding me?
I'm like, really?
Are you kidding me right now? And the thing is,
wow,
the Cowboys, that third round pick, they didn't pick again. It was like 87 more picks. It was like late in the fifth round. It was their next pick. And apparently they really wanted Leofau, and it's a reach for sure. I don't think there's any way around it. Mel Kiper Jr. called it a reach. I've got some of his write-up on it. He said, Maris at 87 was a reach on his board, but I know Dallas wants to be better against the run, and he'll help there. See, that's like, I realize he's an inside linebacker, but the guy, he had what, like 95 total tackles in the last 2 years? Like, against the run is like, if you listed all of Maris Leofau's attributes, that would be at the bottom of the list, I think, wouldn't it?
I mean, are you going to put him on the edge and just have him rush the passer, or like, you know, I don't know. If you're going to ask him to sit in the middle and diagnose plays, you're in trouble. I mean, that is just the bottom line. You're going to be in trouble. He has to be triggered and just have one assignment. And then when he does that, he's really good. But I just don't know if that is going to be the case in the NFL. That's the problem.
Right.
So I just, okay, we'll see.
So I'm going to play you the phone call that the Cowboys made to Marist that they posted on social media. I've got the audio, obviously, but you're going to hear Jerry Jones. But you're also going to hear, I think he's the only one who introduces himself. Then you're going to hear Mike McCarthy, the head coach, then Cowboys defensive coordinator Mike Zimmer, and then linebackers coach Mike McSorley. So I'll play it. And there's a couple little, like, kind of listen for a couple little points. Like Mike Zimmer says something particular. McCarthy says a little bit that, you know, might catch your ear.
Okay.
All right.
We're going to go the Notre Dame linebacker.
Hello.
Maris.
How's it going?
How you doing? Hold on one second. Maris?
Yes, sir.
This is Jerry Jones with the Dallas Cowboys.
How are you doing, sir?
Well, I'm doing great, but I'm really proud that you're now a Dallas Cowboy.
Thank you so much.
Well, we're excited about you being here. You're a hell of a competitor, and we're proud of it.
Hey, Maris, congratulations, man.
How's it going, Coach?
Hey, I tell you.
Great to hear from you.
Oh, you bet. I just can't say enough about you after seeing you up for Notre Dame and on your 30 visits. So you're coming to a great place, as you know.
I'm so excited, Coach. I appreciate it.
Congratulations.
Thank you so much.
You sold me when you told me what everybody on the defense was doing it when you were here.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Man, I had a great time.
Yeah, well, you're going to have a better time now.
I'm so excited. I don't know what to say.
Well, we're excited for you. You had a great visit, and we loved everything about you, man. Your tape's great. You're a great kid, great person.
Thank you.
You're really going to fit into our family here, man.
Great. I can't wait. Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
I can't believe we're going to get some of that Notre Dame gold mixed in with this.
Yeah, let's do it, man. Let's do it.
Sounded like someone's phone was about to crap out there in the middle of that call at the end. Like, could you imagine if Maris' phone dropped?
Like it in dies. The middle of
talking to Jerry Jones.
Oh, boy.
But you heard a couple of different things there. McCarthy,
yeah, you did.
McCarthy referenced seeing him at the pro day. Obviously, yep. Maris was a priority. Like they came, it sounds like Mike McCarthy came here to look specifically at Maris Leifert, which I think is really. Really interesting to me. But then you heard Mike Zimmer like talk about you sold me when you told me where everyone on the defense is supposed to be.
Here's the thing. Who cares?
He knows where everyone else is supposed to be, but does he know where he's supposed to be?
Like
it doesn't always seem like it, right?
I go out with my kid all the time, watch him kick, and I can tell him what he's doing wrong. That doesn't mean I can do it.
Right.
That's the thing. Like, I can't do it, but I know what's happening. I know what's wrong, or I know where he's supposed to be. I can tell you where all the players on the defense are supposed to be, too. That means he might be a good coach. That doesn't mean he's a good player. Like, if that's what sold him, I mean, granted, he's just talking to him. It's like, you know, what are you going to say when the phone comes to you? It's a cool thing to say. I get it.
But look, but they used a third round pick on him.
Yeah.
That's like, that's a guy you think is going to be a starter relatively quickly.
Man.
Like, Mel Kiper talked about how I think he gave Dallas a B- maybe for their overall draft. And they did well with their first three picks. You know, they traded down. They got the tackle from Oklahoma they wanted, and they got a third-round pick, and they turned that into an all-conference guard from Kansas State. So they've got most likely two starters on the offensive line, which they really need. It's like, okay, you nailed that, but they still needed a running back, and they never drafted a running back. And again, like Jesse and I are sitting there with that second pick of the third round that they got thinking, okay, they're going running back here. And obviously we wanted it to be Andrick Estime, but not only did they not go for him, they took Estime, who I mean, realistically, I think they could have waited until that fifth round pick came around and got him in the fifth round, because it didn't feel like anyone else was nearly as high on Marist as the Cowboys did. So
including, you know, most of Notre Dame Nation.
Yeah. And so here's what Will McClay, their player personnel guy, said about Leifert. He's a linebacker that can rush, that can play stacked, that can play on special teams. He has 34-inch arms, adding that multiplicity into our defense and what Mike Zimmer wanted from that specific position. You see those things from the guy, and he does it at Notre Dame. He plays all over the field and can drop in coverage. The multiplicity and the number of things he can do at a high level was attractive. So that's what Cowboys player personnel director Will McClay said. Again, I mean, he had 44 tackles this year. He had 51 last year. So 95 tackles in the last 2 years. I mean, for like a high-end linebacker, you kind of expect that in one season. You know, I realize you know, Notre Dame, you know, like the tackles were pretty well distributed around the defense this year. But I don't know. It was a shock to me. I'm still pretty shocked by it. But like as Jesse has tried to keep telling me over the last couple of days, I guess I can accept it if Mike Zimmer sees something very specific in Maris Leifau that he thinks can trick, you know, because they are implementing a new defense there in Dallas with Quinn in Washington now. So if Mike Zimmer sees something very specific, I guess we'll see if that's what he gets out of Maris, because we know he's a really good athlete, but there are still, you know, we've seen it game in and game out. There's still some holes in his game, but I mean, there's a lot of upside there, I guess.
Well, I will also say, I think what Connor has to say here is very accurate. He says, I take that as Al coaching them NFL concepts. I do think that had a lot to do with it. Yeah. And I also understand, like it said, he can drop into coverage. He can do all these different things. We saw in spurts him do all of those things. There's no doubt about it. He is super athletic and can run with a running back, you know, on a wheel route or whatever, right? He can run with a tight end and cover a tight end if need be. He can do all of those things that you ask him to do physically. The problem is he's not consistent at it from a read and react situation.
That's the biggest thing. There needs to be more consistency. Right. And even when he is in the right place, I mean, there have been times when I've watched him essentially kind of like just sort of fill up space, but it's like, come on, dude, keep pursuing, you know, make that make that tackle. Don't just be there. Make that tackle now.
Right. So, but I do think probably walking in the room with NFL terminology and things like that, that certainly didn't hurt his case. You know what I mean? I'm sure that the coaches loved hearing that.
Yep.
You know, and that is an Al Golden effect. I mean, how many times have we heard that it's an NFL style defense, right? And it takes time to understand it and to, you know, be good in it and all those different things.
And I guess that, you know, like as a rookie coming in the door, I think that does have to probably give him a leg up.
Yeah.
You know, and they don't have a lot in that linebacker's room right now. They brought in like one veteran and they were thin at linebacker last year. So I don't think that.
He's not there to play special teams. Is that what you're saying?
That's what I was. Yeah, that's what I was trying to make my tongue say. Yes.
Yes.
Uh-huh. He's not just there to play special teams, I don't think, this year. I think
because I do think he'd be a really good special teams player in the NFL. I do think that. And he probably still could be. But the way you're describing the depth chart in that room, he's going to have to be more than that.
Yeah.
And we'll see if that actually.
They were using safeties to play linebacker at the end of the year last year. Leighton Van Der Esch retired because of his neck injury and all that stuff. DK says, reading and listening to this staff, are you still wondering why they can't get past the first round of the playoffs? I've never wondered, DK.
I've never wondered.
Never been a wonder for me.
That's the best response ever. Never wondered.
Yes.
This is great.
Blake Fisher kind of snuck into the second
round. Yeah, he did. Super sneaky.
Did it surprise you at all?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I had Blake in the third. Because I figured he would be an early day two guy just because of his attributes, very similar to Marist, I suppose. I still think he needed another year of seasoning. I think he might have, I mean, based on the fact that he went in the second round, if he would have stayed at Notre Dame, he might have snuck into the first round just because of his athleticism and who he is and all of those different things. He could have been Notre Dame's best lineman, you know.
I heard Kuiper say that today. Like, Kuiper thinks if Blake Fisher had stuck around for another year, he was probably going to be a first-round guy next year.
And here's the thing. I don't know that we have question marks, or a lot of them, about the offensive line if Blake Fisher sticks around. Even if he stays on the right side, you know, Jagasaw is going to be young, and he's going to make some young mistakes and things like that. But I think we feel a completely different way about this offensive line if Blake Fisher sticks around for another year. And he would have, I think, helped his draft stock. Now,
yeah.
He bet on himself. None of us thought he was going to go in the second round. So, like, maybe you call that a win, but I still think he could be a first rounder if he would have come back.
Absolutely. Absolutely think so. And yeah, I was surprised to hear his name called in the second, even though like he was kind of getting some late momentum. It felt like just based on some things that we started hearing last week, but he goes to the Texans, and that's going to be a pretty good situation.
Yeah, it is
for him.
That's an up-and-coming group right there.
Yeah,
and
absolutely,
they did a good job, from what I can tell. I am no draft expert, but I believe they had a pretty decent draft, and they're bringing in people in free agencies. I mean, their stock is definitely going up as far as the Texans are concerned, and obviously they've got the quarterback, so they're looking pretty good down there.
I just don't think there were very many bingo cards that had Joe Alt. I mean, everyone had Joe Alt, obviously, number one from Notre Dame. But right. Alt, Blake Fisher, Maris Leofel, Notre Dame's first three players. You would have won a lot of money if you had wagered that order.
Right. Yeah, there. You would have.
First, second, third round.
Not a chance.
You know, even Alt was a little bit of a surprise.
Well, going two spots, because everybody had him mocked to Tennessee at 7.
Tennessee number 7. That was in stone, it seemed like.
Right. But the reality of the situation is he made perfect sense at 5. Like, if anybody actually sat down and thought about it for 5 seconds, they would have realized that Harbaugh is going to go line. I mean, it made perfect sense.
Yeah, and then Cam Hart, J.D. Bertrand, Audric Estime all go in the 5th round. And again, like, J.D. Bertrand, probably not a complete shock. I still thought that might have been, you know, like a little bit high, especially when you look at Cam Hart and Audric Estime both going there as well. How much of a surprise? Like, I think you said last week that you thought Cam Hart should be the 2nd Notre Dame player off the board in the draft.
I did. I think I feel like projecting out, like, into the future, if we look back at the draft, I think he's the 2nd most valuable guy that came out of this draft from Notre Dame. I know people got scared from his medicals and all of that, but I think he landed in a good spot, number one, and I think he is going to be a pro for a long time. I mean, I think he's really, really good, and just the medicals always scare people, and I get it. But I think he is going to be a steal.
Well, and I saw some people like talking about his speed. I mean, the guy ran a 4.5. It's not like he was slow by any means. Right?
And he's not going to be, you know, it's not going to be Cam Hart Island. Like, that's not who he is.
Right.
But if he's in a predominantly zone defense, you know, scheme and all that, like, can he man up on people? Absolutely. But he's going to be just fine. 4.5 is plenty fast enough to do what you need to do. And he's long and he's athletic. He'll be just fine.
I think that there were some like people who, I think the health was the biggest factor for sure. Just the injury that had to have been the biggest factor than anything else, because that, you know, the other evaluation, you know, again, like I saw some people saying speed, which again, I don't agree with. Now there are others who have looked at, like, you know, maybe, you know, not quite as fluid as you want, getting his hips around sometimes, you know, like, you know, getting upfield, ability to find the ball, some of those kind of things. The fact that he does have so few interceptions, you know, more pass breakups than and not as many interceptions maybe as you would want for a high-end cornerback coming out of college and things like that. But, you know, like, when you look at the frame and everything else that he has, he just looks like a guy who should be playing foot, you know, in the NFL a decade from now, basically.
Yes, absolutely. And he's smart. You know what I mean? He's got all of the intangibles as well off the field. I just think he's going to be, like I said, you look back at this draft, I think he's going to be one of the more valuable picks that came out of Notre Dame.
Here is the phone call that Cam Hart got from the Los Angeles Chargers.
How's it going?
Going well. How you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. I got a coach in here. I don't know if you know him, but he's just banging on my head for us to pick you here.
Man, I appreciate that. Thank you.
You think I should listen to him?
I think you should. You won't regret it.
All right. He said we won't regret it.
We won't regret it.
All right. Well, we got 2 minutes on the clock. We're going to turn your name in and make you the 140th pick of this draft, and you're going to be a Los Angeles Charger. All right, brother?
I appreciate that. Thank you.
Awesome, man. Congratulations. I'm going to pass you to Coach Harbaugh, all right?
Yes, sir.
All right. Congrats.
Appreciate that.
Cam, Jim Harbaugh here.
Well, what's going on, Coach? How you doing?
I'm doing great. Super great. Super great right now. And my usual answer is pretty good. But right now, I'm feeling super great. We are fired up to have you as a LA Charger.
Hey, Chris.
appreciate that, Coach. Thank
Chris,
you.
Chris O'Leary wants to say hello.
What's up, baby?
What's up, Tony?
Hey, congrats, man. You ready to work?
I appreciate it. Let's get paid, bro. Let's do it.
No doubt, bro. We believe in you, man, and I know you believe in yourself, so just come here and do what you've always been doing your whole life, bro. Let's work.
No doubt.
Congrats, man. Appreciate congrats. It. Enjoy it.
And I'm passing you over to our owner right now.
Sounds good.
Hey, Cam, how you doing?
I'm doing good. How you doing?
Good. John Spanos here. Just want to say congratulations and welcome to the Charger family.
No doubt. I appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Yeah, man. Well, we can't wait to get you out here. And enjoy the rest of the day and celebrate it like we are here.
Sounds good. We'll do.
All right. We'll see you out here soon.
You going to the judge?
His family was pretty excited. That's what that was.
Okay. End, I thought that was the draft room. I was like, wow.
That was his family when he told him he was going to the Chargers. So, you know, again, like fifth round, I would not have envisioned that. I kind of figured fourth round was probably the floor for Cam Hart, but he ends up slipping to the fifth. And,
value pick, man. It is.
You know, like huge value for Jim Harbaugh and the Chargers. So they get both Alt and Cam Hart. And you look at Hart, and I was just looking, 17 career pass breakups for the last couple of seasons. He had 7 back in 2022. And, you know, so not a lot. You know, somebody made the point that they really didn't throw at him a lot. And it was like, remember 2 years ago when Benjamin Morrison was a freshman, they really didn't throw Cam Hart's way very much. They were still throwing at Benjamin Morrison even late in the season. So Benjamin Morrison just said, okay, I'm going to intercept all these balls if you're going to keep throwing at me.
Right.
You know,
there's a reason teams keep going at him.
Yeah.
Because Cam Hart was that good. Yeah. You know, and that's the thing that people don't realize. I mean, he is that good, and he had a great Senior Bowl. I thought the Senior Bowl, honestly, I mean, how many clips did we see of him just wrecking people? And I thought that was going to help his draft stock. And then, you know, let's be honest, his stats against, you know, Marvin Harrison Jr., you know, all of these things, I thought, even with the medicals, would have helped him out a little bit. And
you
instead,
would have thought yeah. The people who were watching Marvin Harrison Jr.'s film when they watched those two games against Notre Dame would go, man, who's that number 5?
Right.
You know? And like that would have helped out his evaluation if they were looking at that with a, you know, any kind of concerning eye.
There was no shortage of glowing remarks about Marvin Harrison Jr., rightfully so. Okay. But he locked him down. I mean, let's be honest, he locked him down in 2 straight games. So, hey, again, value pick for the Chargers. I'm just glad that Jim Harbaugh didn't ask Cam Hart who's got it better than we do, like he did to Joe Alt.
Honestly, I kept waiting. Yeah, I kept waiting for that. And did you see the video of Harbaugh singing the Michigan fight song
and all that?
I
did not
stuff
see that
this weekend.
Thank God.
Yep. You missed out on that. So Matt says, am I the only one really wanting to hear Brian's reaction to Denver's pick? He can't not be a fan right now, right? So Brian, of course, denounced his Broncos
free agent
last week. That's right. Was that all because of the uniforms? Was that
the final straw, apparently, was the uniforms. And I even texted him when Audric went to Denver. I was like, Brian's back. He's back. He's like, nope, I'm not back. I'm still a free agent. I'm like, all right.
Man. I don't know, man. Like, I might, you know, like, you might not be sold on Bo Nix, but you can be sold on Audric Estime.
You know what? I like Bo Nix. I don't know how good of a pro he's going to be.
Yeah, I mean, I liked him as a college quarterback.
I like him.
How that translates, you just never know with a lot of these guys.
Right, exactly. I mean, Sean Payton, obviously, is kind of the quarterback whisperer and all those different things, and I do see a decent amount of Drew Brees in Bo Nix. I do see that, and I think he carries himself really well. I can see why he was picked where he was picked. Again, I don't know how well it's going to translate to the NFL. I hope he's successful, obviously, especially since Drick is there. But I think Bo Nix is an easy guy to root for. I'll say that.
And so is Audric Estime.
Oh, 100%. Yeah.
The one silver lining in all of this is the fact, like when I look at like where some of these other guys ended up, especially Audric Estime, because of the need that my team had that went unaddressed. And so they, you know, they brought in a guy on his last, you know, they brought in a retread. They brought Zeke back, of course.
Did they really?
You know, from, yeah, that was apparently their whole plan. Is like, we're going to go with a bunch of undrafted free agents and, you know, rookies and, you know, whatever. We got a room full of whatevers, and we're going to bring Zeke back. They actually just signed Ezekiel Elliott back with the team earlier today. So that's what they've got. He's apparently going to be their lead guy. You know, a guy who's averaged like 3.7 yards a carry over the last two seasons. That's going to be their guy instead of, you know, fresh-legged Audric Estime. But the silver lining is at least Estime is not with Philadelphia or Washington or the Giants, from my perspective.
Fair enough.
Like, he's not in the division facing them twice a year. Now, the Broncos fall, like, on my personal pecking order of teams, you know, like my dislike. They're probably around team 4 or 5, you know, in that range. So I'm not ecstatic that he is in Denver, but I would at least rather have him there in a different conference than, you know, than in the division. I just think this might be one of the steals of the draft, right? You know, like both of these guys, basically, Cam Hart and Audric Estime, going in the 5th round.
Yeah.
Because Estime ended up being the 11th running back drafted. There was obviously not a, you know, any kind of like high commodity, high priority on running backs in this draft. Jonathan Brooks from Texas was the first one to go. He goes in the 2nd round, and then 3 guys go in the 3rd, 6 in the 4th, 8 went after Audric Estime. So most of the running backs went really fairly low in this draft when it was all said and done.
Running back is just a position that is not valued like it used to be. I mean, everything you just said there tells me that. And watching any kind of film of Audric Estime, he should have gone higher than he did. I mean, his impact on a football team is going to be higher than where he was drafted. But personnel people think that running backs are basically a dime a dozen at the end of the day.
Yeah. And, you know, they can basically save some carries. Javonte Williams, their leading running back last year, had, I think it was like a little bit shy of 800 yards. So they can pair him up. And, you know, this might be a tandem that they've got out there in Denver. You know, they do have a fair amount of running backs anyway. So I'll be curious to see how they use Audric this season. But here's what Sean Payton had to say about Mr. Estime.
The first vision would be first and second down runner. You know, I'm always hesitant to just say someone's third down. We'll kind of see how that unfolds, but he's strong. I think he has real good vision, contact balance. He was one of the higher graded backs after contact. He's a physical player, and you know, we always try to look at comps, and I don't want to do that with him. But, man, he is a first and second down runner who I think is strong and has pretty good feet for his size, and played with a real good front, you know, a pro-type offense. So he'll have experience relative to the schemes, both under center and in the shotgun. And, again, it's always difficult. You know, a lot of times we'll have close friends and family ask, like, why'd you take a runner? You already have an. It's like, this is an entirely different process that's really factored in with value, you know, going into it a lot.
All right, so there's Sean Payton. Antoine coming in hot. You know, he's coming at me for Marist. Antoine, you might want to double check your information about where Audric Estime was selected, because I'm pulling up the database here right now, and I'm reading the order the running backs were selected in. Jonathan Brooks, 2nd round, 14th pick in the 2nd round. Trey Benson, 2nd pick in the 3rd round. Blake Corum, 19th pick in the 3rd round. Marshawn Lloyd, 25th pick in the 3rd round. Jalen Wright, 20th pick in the 4th round. Bucky Irving, 25th pick in the 4th round. Will Shipley, 27th pick in the 4th round. Ray Davis, 28th pick in the 4th round. Isaac Garendo, 29th pick in the 4th round. Braylon Allen, 34th pick in the fourth round, and then Audric Estime, the 11th running back selected, 12th pick in the fifth round. He was not the third running back overall. He said he should have been. Yeah, I absolutely agree with that, Antoine. He should have been a third-round pick. That's why we're shocked that he went.
There was a lot of backs that you just named off that Audric is better than. I'm sorry.
I think so, too. I think so, too. I'm very shocked that he went. You know, but again, the Broncos got great value out of him. So, like, they're going to benefit from a lot of teams passing him up. And Audric, just like a lot of great athletes, is the kind of guy who's going to be motivated by the fact that he was passed up.
Yep.
By a lot of guys. And I think that, you know, I think we all think that he's going to have a really good career. And the fact that he does have a back like Javonte Williams there as well, that's like saving the legs, you know, they can split some carries, and I can see both of those guys rushing for 700-800 yards or something like that. And Audric, obviously the, you know, like a guy who, you know, who can be their goal line type guy, that kind of thing. I could see that for a guy who scored, you know, as many touchdowns as he did at Notre Dame. Antoine was saying, so your gripe with Marist is that he was the third pick as if he drafted himself there. No, my gripe is not with Marist, obviously, on that. My gripe is with the Cowboys. Just like, you know, Micah Parsons, you know, was like shooting his mouth off about Michael Penix, and as if people were ripping Michael Penix for being drafted by the Falcons with that pick. People weren't ripping Michael Penix for the pick. They were ripping the Falcons for the pick. And I just, you know, like, I would not mind having Marist Leifau if the Cowboys took him in the fifth round, which is, I think, to me, where his ceiling should have been. I think they overvalued him a little bit.
Yes.
They reached with the pick. As I said, you know, and Antoine was asking about, we did touch on Ezekiel Elliott coming back to the Cowboys. Like, as I said earlier, I would have loved to have seen Audric go with that third round pick. But, you know, again, based on where apparently he was valued by not just the Cowboys, but the league, that's not where he should have gone. But there were other running backs who could have easily have been taken with that third round pick. And then I think they still could have gotten Marist in the fifth round. But I think they reached because they were afraid that because they didn't have a pick in the fourth round and that fifth round pick was next, that's why they really.
Mike Zimmer panicked.
Yeah, they really wanted him, and so they felt like they needed to use that third-round pick on him. I hope it works out, obviously, because it's my team. And again, it seems like Mike Zimmer has a very specific idea of what Marist Leifau can do in his defense. So, again, I'm hopeful that it works out that way and that Mike Zimmer can bring all of that out of him. But as we were talking about earlier, Vince, it feels like the fact that Marist has already played in a pro defense for a couple of years, you know, went a long way toward, you know, the Cowboys and their evaluation and what they thought that they could get, you know, out of a guy like Marist Leifau, who is very toolsy and has a lot of things, you know, but there's still, you know, the one upside in this is there is still a lot of upside. I you know, there is still a high ceiling, I think, for Marist, because he didn't come to Notre Dame as a linebacker. He came to Notre Dame as a defensive back and a guy who played some receiver, I think, offensively in high school. So I think that there is still a lot of ceiling still for Leifau. And the question is going to be, can Mike Zimmer really get that out of him? And can he get it out of him quickly, considering the draft stock and, you know, in the investment that they put in Leifau by taking him as high as they did?
Yeah, no, absolutely. Again, he's got lots of tools. He's got lots of tools, and ask any NFL coach, ask any coach, period. They'll be like, I can get more out of him. Like, he's got the tools. I can make him into a redder linebacker. I can get him up to the level that we need. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. And I'm sure that's what the Cowboys staff thinks as well. They see him flash. They see the highlights. They see what he can do. And they're like, we can make him more consistent. I hope they're right. I do. For your sake.
I do too.
And his sake, I hope they're right. I think you're exactly right about the fact that they wanted him on the team. He probably would have been a fourth-round pick for them, but they decided that they don't have a fourth. Well, they didn't decide that. They don't have a fourth-round pick. Yeah. They didn't think he was going to make it all the way down to the fifth. So they reached. Yeah. 100% a reach. And I guarantee you they would tell you that too.
Now, look, one of the write-ups that I saw today, you know, they talk about his 4.64 40 time, which is in the 70th percentile. Everybody loves that wingspan that he's got.
Oh,
I think maybe You know, they've fallen a little bit in love with his arms. You know, Marist has got the arms, Captain America, as, you know, they were calling J.D. Bertrand down there in Atlanta. You know, we all know that Captain America doesn't have the arms, but Marist has the arms. But the most notable NFL comp that I read for Leofell is Darius Leonard, the former Indianapolis Colts linebacker, who was, you know, pretty good there for about a 3-year stretch. So we'll see if he lives up to that. I don't know. Like, I think a lot of people are really puzzled by this pick. You know, everybody who who follows Notre Dame. But, you know, again, the Cowboys sent Mike McCarthy and their player personnel guy up here. And
yeah,
they really valued Marist Leofell.
So yes, they did.
We'll see if it works out. And, you know, J.D. Bertrand ends up in Atlanta. He went in the fifth round. So, you know, sounds like a good spot for him. Sounds like, you know, they like what he can give them. And he's from Atlanta. So, or not Atlanta, but just outside Atlanta. So hometown guy getting to go back and play with his hometown team. That's pretty cool.
And that's about where we thought he would go. And so I think that one went right as planned, I would say.
And John Baptiste, you know, look, I don't know what's going to come of him, but from a Notre Dame perspective, the fact that a year ago, if Javonte John Baptiste, you know, had declared for the NFL or tried to make a go for it in the NFL, he doesn't get drafted. I don't even think that's an opinion. He wouldn't get drafted. He came to Notre Dame and he developed.
Played well.
And he played really well and he got drafted. Now he's going to have to prove it because there were some questions about, you know, some of his weight and up and down and things like that in the, you know, like Senior Bowl and the draft process and all that different stuff. So he needs to get to work. You know, that, like, that's the one guy who did end up, you know, in the division in the NFC East. So it's like, you kind of wish him well, but at the same time, you know, twice a year, just stay away. We'll be right back.